Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham, it is Brian behind the glass. It is a getaway edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92, but we're jam-packed. We're giving away a bunch of stuff throughout the show, so you don't want to go anywhere. Todd Kalas, live from Cleveland. Maybe some Yordan news? TK will be joining us at 4:15 after a spot of talks to the media in Cleveland. We got BZ Money. We've been crushing it with BZ Money. We got Who Said It? We got DJ Big Anime joining us at 5 o'clock as well. So we're jam-packed. Friday edition of the show. I love football. I don't know how you guys feel, but I love football. Football is awesome. Football is great. Doing sports radio during football season is a pleasure. It's a joy. I would do it. No, I wouldn't do it for free. But it's very, very fun. Definitely wouldn't do it for free.
Yeah, don't give the boss that
idea. Definitely wouldn't do it for free.
That's exactly right, Brian.
I don't even really like talking, to be honest. So that's like the work for me. I'd much rather be quiet and watch football than have to talk about it. But hey, it's the job. And, you know, somebody's got to do it. I didn't learn much from the Cowboys-Giants game last night. If I'm being completely honest, hey, congratulations, Dallas. Aubrey's my favorite Dallas Cowboy of all time. He's my favorite Cowboy that has ever existed. Better than Aikman. Not better. More like I like him more than Aikman. Like him more than Michael Irvin. More than Emmitt Smith. Deion Sanders. All of them. Aubrey is already my favorite Dallas Cowboy. Now, I hate Dallas, so that's a big factor into this. But he's my favorite Dallas Cowboy that's ever existed. Maybe that's my main takeaway from yesterday's game.
Yeah, I saw a lot of bad football. I saw the fact that I had to listen to Al Michaels try to think of as many creative ways as he possibly could.
You caught a stray yesterday, I'll be honest with you.
I did.
Yeah, you did. I can't remember who tweeted this, but I remember Al Michaels had that Flag Day joke.
Yeah.
What day's Flag Day? Is it June 14th? Somewhere in June.
I heard it.
Yeah, it was a terrible joke,
but it was bad.
Tons of penalties. I get it. And then Al Michaels was like, it's June 14th. It's Flag Day.
Yeah.
And I tweeted, I was like, that's a bad joke, Al Michaels. And somebody in the comments said that was a Blankers joke.
Probably.
I don't think it's bad.
I'll own that one.
Yeah, you caught a stray.
The dad joke's there, but that pretty much tells you all you need to know about the fact that Al needs to probably wrap it up because that was embarrassing, the amount of penalties. We talked about it from a Texans perspective when the Texans had the penalties they had a week ago. This has been going on for 2 years now with Mike McCarthy. They haven't found a way to fix it. When you looked at who were the most penalized teams over the last year and Dallas was in the top three, they look ridiculous. The Giants don't look much better. And I said yesterday when you and I were talking about this might be, you know, the game for who isn't on the hot seat or who saves their job for the year. I don't think there's any question now. Both guys are firmly on the hot seat. As much as Dallas won the game, they didn't look good doing it.
No.
And I think the Giants, aside from Malik Nabers, are a mess.
I think that for me, this guy says Aubrey's your favorite Cowboy, must have had Giants plus 5.5. He did miss that kick late. Yeah, he's my favorite Cowboy, but I have a bias against Dallas, so that's probably a big variable into the equation. I was watching two mediocre football teams.
Yep.
Two mediocre, and I do think that Dallas is the better of the mediocrity than the Giants. And I mean, the game was in New Jersey, so like you go on the road, you win an ugly game on the road in the NFL, in the division. Like, I'm not knocking that. I think whenever you win divisional games on the road, it really doesn't matter. It's not a beauty contest. You win the game, you move on, you try to rack up as many wins as you can. But whenever I give them credit for winning the game. I'm not trying to dog the Cowboys for winning a road divisional game. You get those however you can get them. This is more about how I project them going forward. That running game is incredibly it's not even mediocre, man. Like, that is bad. They need to just feed Rico Dowdle the ball. I'm like, you're our bell cow. You're going to be that guy. But to me, because their running game is so poor, I can't really take them seriously as an NFC contender.
Oh, no. I think as much as people were talking about the potential for the Cowboys being somebody, a team to be reckoned with that might have some playoff aspirations, they look anything but. We knew that a week ago with the disarray between the infighting and the way they couldn't stop anybody defensively. But offensively, if that's all they can do is kind of throw the ball wherever they can try and get some, you know, a couple of yards here and there, their running game looks just awful. And they look in complete disarray on both sides of the football. Now you're going to be out without two of your three best defenders for at least a couple of weeks because Parsons got hurt at the end of the game, and Lawrence already had gotten hurt in the middle of the game. They look like they're going absolutely nowhere. Both teams do.
Yeah.
You guys are coming back to my side. The Cowboys flame out?
No, I don't think they flame out. I think they make. I think they're a wild card team.
That didn't sway me at all.
Yeah, but the NFC 6-7 spots are going to be very mediocre. Very mediocre, just like they were a year ago.
Did I have Dallas in? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I know
that if I did, it was at the very end. I'll tell you right now, they're not a playoff team. That's a bad football team.
I think they're a playoff team.
I don't.
I think they're a 6-7 seed in the NFC.
I don't. I just don't. I think that they're poorly coached. I think that.
Well, you hate McCarthy, though. You have a bias against McCarthy.
No, because I've seen McCarthy coach, or quote-unquote coach, and I don't believe in anything that he's been able to do outside of when he had Rodgers.
They won 12 games last year, didn't they?
They've won 12 games in a row.
Yeah, a couple years in
a row.
Well,
I mean, to say that he hasn't done anything since Rodgers and he's winning 12 games without Rodgers,
that's a little disingenuous. How much is that him?
I mean, I think coaches are prisoners of their situation. It's a weird way to put that. But you can't say that he didn't do anything without Aaron Rodgers and he won the division with Dak Prescott. Like, that's an accolade. Is it because of the roster? Sure. But he's done stuff without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Well, okay. But, you know, I just think when Jerry Jones hired him, I had serious reservations. Those haven't changed. I don't believe in him as a guy that's going to lead that franchise any further than how far they've gone already. And I saw nothing last night to think anything, but that's probably a little bit too grandiose of a bar to set for them. I think they're worse than that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm calling them mediocre. I'm calling a little upper echelon mediocre compared to the Giants. But like you look right now, teams that have two wins in the NFC, Green Bay, who I do think Green Bay is good. Detroit, I think they're good. Philly's good. That's three. Tampa,
Yeah, Jerry's still out.
Will there be a wild card that comes from the NFC South? Because Tampa's 2-1, Saints are 2-1, or is that whoever wins the division, you are the lone representative of the NFC South?
Before the season started, I thought it was going to be whoever wins the division is the lone representative, but because the rest of the NFC has been floundering a little bit, there's a chance, because I didn't expect the Saints to do what they did early on in the season, and Atlanta, I expected more, but I still think that they've played well enough to win a couple of the games they've lost.
If you get two teams that just beat up the Sisters of the Poor, the other two teams in the division, maybe you can get a second team from the NFC South. I think Seattle's kind of for real, and I think Minnesota's kind of for real. So that's like five teams. Like, is Washington in the mix there? I think the sixth and the seventh seed in the NFC are going to be what we would describe as very mediocre, very, very mid. And I think that Dallas is going to land in that conversation, in that area.
Yeah, I think that the fact is that the NFC we knew was the lesser than conference of the two conferences. I think it's going to take a couple of teams actually proving that the early start is something that they can maintain, because I still don't believe in Tampa Bay overall. I still have questions about the Saints, but their offense looks a hell of a lot better. But overall, I thought Atlanta had way more talent than what they're doing and how they're utilizing it. So I think there's a couple of teams that can step up. If they don't, does that open a door for Dallas? Maybe. Washington's a team you got to watch too, because I thought they were a year away, but right now the way that, you know, that whole team is playing and the fact that their offense is putting up numbers, that's a team that might be able to compete with Dallas for that last spot.
If he's this year's version of C.J. Stroud.
No doubt.
I think that Washington will be in that conversation too. I think that anywhere between the 6th and the 10th spot in the NFC are going to be the same echelon of teams. It's not really a shocking statement. I think Dallas is going to be in that mix. I think Washington's going to be in that mix. I think a second NFC South team will be in that mix. I could see Dallas landing 6-7. I could see him landing 8-9.
Dallas is much better than Washington right now?
Yeah, I mean, their offense has dudes, man. Like, Dak Prescott's one of the more underrated.
They do have guys.
Yeah, I think Dak's underrated. I don't trust Dak in the postseason. I don't think Dak's a top five quarterback. I think Dak Prescott, though, is disrespected. That dude puts up numbers.
He does.
Now, you could say regular season numbers, yes, and I would say that's fine. But we're talking about getting to the playoffs. We're not talking about them and their performance in the playoffs. Now, the Micah Parsons news, that's going to be something that hurts them quite a bit because he's their best defensive player. And CeeDee Lamb is second, third best receiver in the NFL. So yeah, I do trust
that the Cowboys are best running back.
Even without their running game, I still feel like they're good enough offensively to win 9 games, which I think would get them a wild card.
But I think we also slept a little bit on Minnesota. I didn't think Minnesota was going to be this good.
Yeah, you factor in those teams that are going up.
We just counted them. What do you mean did I factor? We just counted them. Yes, I factored them.
No, I didn't. You didn't hear what I said. Factoring in for part of my reason why the Cowboys are going to miss are the teams that have jumped up and been better than I thought.
We just did that practice. We just counted the top teams in the NFC.
You asked for my opinion on that.
But you should have heard it as a producer of this show in the first 7 minutes.
I'm setting up the log. Okay,
then admit
up our spots.
I think that.
Doing all the hard work, quote unquote.
That's fair.
The Vikes are a team.
But admit you didn't hear it.
I had written off before the season started. I just didn't think their quarterback situation was stable. And I didn't know what they could be, though I do know that they have Justin Jefferson and they have some talent with some of their skill players. They're another team that between, you know, they who they are and who they define themselves to be in the next several weeks will go a long way because I didn't have them even sniffing the playoffs and they got a legit shot.
Yeah. Now, the Cowboys running game does have to improve. Like, and I think that it can improve if they just say, hey, Rico Dowdle will take us as far as you can take us because I think he is their most talented running back. Or they can make a move at the deadline, something like that, try to get a little bit of juice in that room. They do need to improve in that area. Malik Nabers is a stud.
Yeah.
Malik Nabers is freaking good. Hated to see that concussion yesterday at the end of the game. Just fell face first on his forehead. That stunk. Hopefully he doesn't I'm saying hopefully he doesn't miss any games. That sounds very callous.
He's gonna miss
of me.
A game.
Probably going to miss a game nowadays in the NFL.
Well,
although you do
days.
Have the extra days.
Yeah.
You have the extra days because you played on Thursday. That guy's a freak, though. Like, I think he has the upside of being a top five receiver in the NFL.
He's damn near unguardable.
Oh, no,
like, watching him last night, it felt like he was unguardable. It felt like we were watching the next Justin Jefferson. That's what it felt like, which is funny because they all seem to come from LSU. LSU has been incredible wide receiver factory. My only concern with Malik Nabers, because he's not a huge guy, they were relying on him so much, which of course they do. He's their only credible offensive weapon. But with as small as he is, just take watching, because there's a few hits even before he got the concussion where they came and hit him in the midsection. He kind of crumpled. I know in my group chat, it's like, man, Malik Nabers, if he keeps getting this usage, he's going to fall. He's going to fall. And then sure enough, the concussion happened, which I get is freak. Uh-huh. But with the amount of usage he has right now, I am a little concerned about his frame.
He looked like he was getting ticked off it because he was taking a lot of hits on those short,
he took a lot
those
of hits.
Underneath routes and everything. He was getting pounded, and he did not look happy about it walking back to the huddle.
I hesitate to say this, and I know he had the concussion, so take the concussion out of this. Do you think Malik milks his hits a little bit? Do you think he's a little slow to get up sometimes?
Maybe. No, I think he's just little.
Some guys have been known to do that. Yeah, there's. I mean,
I think he might milk a little bit. Now you can't say that. You can't say that on the concussion. I understand that. But there was a lot of hits that he took. A lot of hits he took where it took him a long time to come up, and then all of a sudden he's good to go 5 seconds later.
We what, 4 games into his career, you're calling him soft?
Maybe. Maybe.
You got to get Brandon soft list. We just put a board over here. We got Yordan, McCullers.
It doesn't help my case that he got concussed later. That doesn't help my case.
I love that you're judging how hard he was hit and how much he should hurt while watching on your couch.
But you see that, though, where it takes some players, and let's take the specific players out of this for a second, where it takes some players a little bit longer to shake it off and get up.
That doesn't mean he's milking it. Maybe
I think
that's
the definition of milking it.
Sorry?
I think it's the definition of milking it.
No, not everyone handles pain the same way. You could say maybe he doesn't have a great pain tolerance. I think that could be fair, but that doesn't mean you're milking it, though.
We would call that soft.
Okay.
If it takes a guy a little bit longer than another guy with the same exact hit,
so everyone
that
reacts
guy would be a little
to
softer.
An injury the exact same way.
No,
that's my point.
No, I'm not saying that everybody, but we would call the ones that milk it or take longer to get up as soft.
Yeah. Or a little bit of a showboat. Because there are guys that do that to kind of milk the camera and know that, hey, you know what? I'm tough. I took a shot. But
in that split second, because he's reacting immediately. You have the idea that you, in that split second between hit and acting, quote unquote, you have the idea like, all right, I'm going to milk this one. I'm going to stay down for the cameras, give a little extra. That thought process to me is crazy.
I think we're going to have to go watch it.
There's a fine line because
he was doing that.
If the officials recognize it, then you got to sit a play, right?
If they have to stop the clock.
So you can, if you're milking it, you got to milk it quick because you still got to get back in a certain amount of time or the official's going to call the trainers.
A lot of guys would be getting up on the three count. He was getting up on the nine count. He was getting up on the nine count. I mean, we see this.
Standing
with the Astros.
Eight.
We see these with the Astros. Like, who's Lance McCullers? Who's the hardest Astro pitcher? Like, tough guy, gritty, that he's going to take the ball and, you know, he's going to give you all he's got. And isn't going to complain about injuries or whatever.
Mm.
Like, who is that? Do they even have that
guy? I don't know if they have that guy.
I don't know if they have
maybe
that
Hunter
guy.
Brown? Like, Hunter Brown doesn't strike me as a strong
Brown
dude.
Or Verlander, maybe?
No.
I mean,
not
Verlander
anymore.
Misses 6 weeks with a little bit of neck strain.
Yeah, no, not anymore.
Verlander's been hurt.
I think the little bit of neck strain when he was 28 would have been far less than when he was 41.
But we're talking about the moment. We're talking about now. And Verlander's been on the injured list like four different times in the last 2 years.
I think Hunter Brown's a dog, though.
Of the starting pitchers, I would go Hunter Brown. Like, If Hunter Brown got nicked by a comebacker and Lance McCullers got nicked by a comebacker, which of the two is going to take a little bit longer to be ready to pitch?
Good old Lance.
Good old Lance. Like, that's what I'm trying to say here with neighbors.
I think Neris would be a guy. Neris is they talk about every time he has a chance to get the ball, he'd take it, and he gets emotionless. I think Neris would be a toughness guy, but I think Hunter Brown. I think Jeremy nailed that one. That's Hunter Brown.
See, I think Fromber's a bit of a bulldog too. Now he has the rare hitting his elbow on something, and then missing a start. But I think that he's a bit of a bulldog too. I wouldn't say he's harder than Hunter Brown.
Please don't.
I think you got to be a true tough bulldog. You got to be mentally strong too. And
he's been one of the most consistent pitchers
just
in the last 5 years.
Just bunt on him and see what kind of mentally strong guy you get sometimes.
All right,
well,
7-1.
That's physically tough versus mentally tough.
Well, yeah, it's not. He starts freaking out mentally before he fields the ball.
But is there a difference between soft mentally and soft physically?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I think that's what we're saying. Yeah, Fromber's tough physically, but maybe not mentally.
Right. Yeah, I think that you can. But, you know, if you're going with the all-encompassing soft, then maybe Fromber can play into this. We went off the rails. 713-780-ESP at HRP Listener Line. Busy show. Todd Kalas, TK, DJ Bienname. Maybe we get some Yordan Alvarez news. It is Friday ahead of the Houston Texans playing on Sunday. The injury report out, and there is some breaking news. Also, what are your favorite storylines ahead of Sunday's game between the Texans and the Jags? 713-780-ESPN, HRP Listener Line, twitch.tv/ESPN975, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter at ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man Joel, Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from MyBookie. That's right, MyBookie.ag is the place you ought to be if you're going to be watching any kind of football. It's going to be all weekend long, all the way through Monday night. You know, there's baseball games to be played as well. But if you got any kind of interest at all at sports gambling and betting on games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. It's where I always tell you to go because they always take care of their customers. They're doing it again now. They've even got a better, more extensive program now with a loyalty rewards program called MyBookie Plus. And there's different tiers on it. And the more you play and the more you are active on the site, the higher the tiers you go. With the higher the tiers, the better the opportunities and the rewards that you are going to get. And it all starts with you using our promo code BET975. When you use our promo code, when you put money in your account, like right now, if you've never been there before, you want to sign up for the first time, when you put money in your account, you use our promo code BET975, they're going to put money on top of it instantly. That means more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. And they have all the games and in-game betting. They've got all the sports. If you're watching it on TV, there's a pretty good chance you can bet on it at mybookie.ag. They take care of you because they want you to come back. Your money's safe and secure. They've been in business for over a decade, and they're constantly doing whatever they can to take care of you. They heard it for a long time. Everybody wanted casino games. They wanted live dealers. They wanted an opportunity to do some gambling when there weren't games on, and they didn't want to drive to Louisiana, fly to Vegas, or find another casino. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, and when you want live dealers, they're waiting for you, standing by for you to do casino games without having to leave your house. All you got to do is use your phone, your computer, your tablet, and you are there. They are fantastic. They love their customers, and they try and take care of you the best they can. Use our promo code to really cash in. That's bet975. But do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag. Use our promo code bet975.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What are your favorite storylines for the Texans-Jags game on Sunday? 713-780-3776. Jasper's coming at me. I'm here to say concussions suck. Oh, wait, Branham, didn't you get a concussion putting on your socks or something? Feels a little unwarranted. I didn't get a... No.
I think that was Josh Beard. Now, how are you confused?
Oh, he's right.
Maybe he's confusing
now,
me with Beard.
Josh did fall down the stairs, so technically wasn't putting on his socks. But
he slipped because of socks on the carpet.
He slipped because of socks and, yeah.
Jasper's confusing me with Beard. Yeah. Okay,
Same initials.
Yeah, so Jasper, you're wrong, but I see now why
same
you said
body
that.
Same body type. Okay.
I thought that was mean text a little early.
Come on. If I am Beard's body type, though, I can bench press 800 pounds like he used to say that he could do.
But you could also tell everybody that.
Yes. I work out. Look at me. I work out. I lift weights. I go to the gym.
I work out.
There you go. You know, I'm anti-exercise, though. I don't believe in exercise. I think I was concussed once, but it was undiagnosed. We were playing football on the baseball field, and I went to catch a pass. Of course, I caught it because I have elite hands. And whenever I fell back, I hit the back of my head like that on the warning track. And I was dizzy. I was seeing stars, but I kept playing because I'm a dog.
Yeah, I don't know that if I ever was concussed, I don't. Well, I shouldn't say I don't remember it, but
that would be a symptom.
I don't think I was ever diagnosed. I just kept doing whatever I was doing. But yeah, I can't remember any time that I was.
Do you think I had a concussion in that moment?
I would say chances are greater than 50-50.
Looking back, I think I did.
I think if you see stars, that's one sign, but then it's the lingering effects, like the sunlight or any kind of light gets to you, and there's the nausea and some of those things that go with it.
Those
but
are, I think, more extreme
definitely
symptoms,
a possibility.
Right? Like, I don't think everybody gets nauseous.
I think
there's degrees to it. 3726, huge difference between milking it and just taking your time to get up because you're in pain. Probably. Maybe milking's too strong of a word, but I feel like Malik Nabers takes him a little longer to get up than most people. I think pain gets to him more than – it bothers him more than others. He has a high opinion of pain, whereas others do not have a high opinion.
So you think it's more associated with his pain tolerance than it is that sometimes he milks it like to get the attention.
It's just something that I'm going to be monitoring in the career of Malik Nabers. Let's just keep an eye on that with Malik Nabers. We know that Lance McCullers at this stage of his career is a bit soft. We know that Yordan Alvarez has some soft tendencies. Let's see Malik. And I'm not saying the concussion was soft. I'm talking about everything that happened prior to that. Texans injury report is out. Tank Dell has been ruled out for Sunday's game.
Thanks, D'Amico.
I really, really hope that getting Tank Dell those reps with Davis Mills, by the way, I really hope those Tank Dell reps with Davis Mills down by 27 with less than 5 minutes left to play were worth it. I hope that was worth it, D'Amico. And it's not the same as playing on the first play of the game. D'Amico Ryans has forced Tank Dell to be ruled out because all of the starters, with the exception of C.J. Stroud, were in the game playing against the Vikings' second-string defense down by 27 with less than 5 minutes with Davis Mills operating the offense.
Yeah, I don't want to get into beating the dead horse of yesterday.
I do. I told you I was going to be loud about it.
But at the same time,
I told you I was going to be loud about it.
I just don't know how you can justify that now, especially because he's going to miss the following game. That's the crux of what I was getting into. You're not thinking about the game that you were finishing. You're thinking about the games ahead because that one was already out of reach. And the last thing you want is to have your best players missing because you decided to try and compete further in a game that was out of reach, and that's just a bad look.
And for what game? For what game? Momentum. Momentum with Davis Mills? Momentum with Davis Mills against the Vikings second string? That's a way different defense than you're going to face the next week? Whatever. Also, Damian Pierce has been ruled out. There were reports earlier this week that he would be back. Damian Pierce is out. Jimmy Ward has been ruled out with the mid-groin strain that he has. Questionable Foley Fatakasi. Joe Mixon is questionable, was a limited participant today at practice. And then Nico Collins, full participant. He told DJ Bieniemy, who will be joining us at 5, that he's good to go and will play. So, shorthanded receiver. I still think the Texans will be fine. Like, you have Hutch. You know, Mechie's probably going to be active. I really don't have concerns that the Texans are going to lack from the wide receiver room. Would you rather have Tank Dell or not? I rather have Tank Dell, and I think it's foolish. The opportunity you gained in Week 3 in a meaningless game versus not having him on the field at all. But what are your favorite storylines, Texans, Jags, coming up on Sunday? 713-780-3776. What are your favorite storylines?
Well, I mean, it starts with the offensive line. We know what we saw last week, and we've heard that they're cleaning it up, and whether it's just the individuals doing what they have to do, or the fact that the focus was on the continuity of the entire offensive line, Let's see it. Let's not talk about it. Let's be about it. Let's see that the fact that they're going to reduce the number of penalties, that they're going to be on the same page, and it goes a lot deeper than that, about knowing where they're going in coverage and based on how many rushers are outside or the stunts coming inside, the communication level between all involved to make sure that the holes are blocked and that guys are getting, you know, hats on hats. That'll be a huge step in the right direction for this team to kind of just put the game last week behind them and move forward knowing they're going to be better off.
Yeah, my favorite story, like this game doesn't have the, you know, divisional opponents where you think, oh, storyline, rivalry, and, you know, Texans-Jags way back in the day used to be a pretty intense rivalry. I actually think this game lacks storyline versus last week. Like, last week you had tons of intrigue. You had a lot of, you had Diggs returning to Minnesota. You had John Gernard on the other side who was hyped up and had a huge game. You had all the former Houston Texans on the other side. You had the sexy matchup of Kevin O'Connell versus D'Amico Ryans. Even the undercard with Brian Flores versus Bobby Slowick. Justin Jefferson, is Stingley going to travel? Like, you had tons of storylines last week. Danielle Hunter return home. You had so many storylines last week. The storylines this week are kind of boring. Other than it being a divisional rival, what's the main storyline here? Will the Texans' offensive line up in a legal formation? Like, that to me is what I'm most intrigued about. Do they fix all the stuff that they were doing wrong? But from like a sexy storyline perspective, I actually think this game lacks that.
Yeah, I think it's more about the teams themselves. The storylines are about each individual team with what they're dealing with. It's not about the fact that you got two teams fighting for the division that have had a rivalry over the years already, or, you know, this players and these matchups and these things have happened. It's all about, you know, can the Jags get right? And is there any chance of salvaging their season? And how quickly can the Texans bounce back from that hiccup last week?
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right, because like the Jags, we need to win a game. Trevor Lawrence is in a rut. Whenever he was playing really well, like last year, they had won like 13 of 16 games, and then he's lost like 9 of his last 10. He's lost like 6 in a row, something crazy like that. So they have a lot of internal things.
Going to get fired? I mean, he's on the hot seat. They're watching that. They're already talking Belichick rumors. I mean, they have a lot of storylines in terms of what they have to deal with in their own house.
Belichick doesn't strike me as a guy to go to Jacksonville.
I don't feel it either. I feel Dallas more than I feel Dallas or Philly before I would feel Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I think they're more ready to win.
Even New York.
Maybe. Yeah, I can see New York, and he's been there before. But I think when you look at the teams where he's kind of like, he's lined up now where he wants a team that he has guys that he's ready to go and take him to the next level. You got good defensive players on Philly. You got good defensive players on Dallas. He could do some things there, and offensive players that can play. Jacksonville seems to be where it would be too much work for him.
Yeah, I do too. Jacksonville doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I agree with our Jacksonville guest yesterday, which I hope he's safe from the hurricane on the East Coast. Oh, that stuff was bad. I was watching some storm coverage yesterday. Hope everybody is safe, even though it hit the West Coast.
Jimmy have to hang on to a street sign?
Jim
Cantore, and he normally...
I didn't watch that. He normally
gets right in the middle of the big... big
it bumped up to a Category 4.
In 12 hours. It went from a Cat 1 to a Cat 4 in 12 hours.
I don't know if you guys saw the map of just the size of the storm, but it basically covered half the United States. It was unbelievable.
It was thicker than Florida. It was
yes,
the width of that hurricane was thicker than the entire state of Florida. I was watching some people on TikTok and YouTube. They are nuts. People like go out there in the storms and like run out there in a Cat 4. They're idiots.
They're saying it's going to affect a ton of college football tomorrow too.
Yeah, I saw some games got canceled. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. His name is being hidden from us. We can't see the name. We can see that he wants to take exception to me, saying that I'm being soft. So, caller, don't know your name. It's invisible. You're in the hive of the bees. What's up?
What's happening, Taylor? Jeremy, come on, man. You're contradicting yourself on the soft stance because you're going on with this rant about the Nico playing tank in whatever game. I'm glad.
No, 27 point game with a few minutes left to play. Don't get it twisted. You can't say whatever game and just throw out a nothing scenario. Let's talk specifics. They were down by 27 with just minutes left to play. So let's set the scene a little bit better than that.
I know it, but let him soak in it. Let him soak in it because the way they played, so he left them out there. But I'm saying, you talking about the soft stuff, you being soft now on Tank because Tank got hurt. Tank's a football player. He's going to have to handle these hits or these attacks he's getting or whatever because he got a little risky. Come on, man. He need to play football.
He got a little what?
Huh?
He got a little risky?
Well, that's what's wrong with him. His wrist is
no, right? It's his chest. I think Aaron Wilson was wrong on the report. They did say that on the TV broadcast that it was hand wrist, but I think they screwed that up. He's on the injury report with a chest. I don't think it's a hand wrist. Jake.
Okay.
All right. So you think I'm being soft because I don't want Tank Dell in a 27-point deficit with just minutes left to play because I think it's important to have him going forward. That's why I'm soft?
No, I mean, but play football. I understand CJ got taken out because that's the most important player on the field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe he was dealing with something. But some other players, I would have left CJ out there, too, and soaking that in that whooping they was getting. I left them all out there. You want to play like this? Okay, you're going to play the whole game.
And then if CJ Stroud got hurt in that game, you're cool with that, Jake?
I'll be all right.
Okay, Jake. Come on, man.
We got a difference of opinion. We agree to disagree on this, Jake. I respect your opinion. I think that you argued it well because they were getting their butt whooped. They deserve to stay on the field. Old school mentality. I understand that old school mentality. I have a lot of old school principles too, Jake. Just not when it's foolish and it's dumb and it lacks common sense. Like the whole hashtag football. It's football. They gotta be out there. What does that mean? You're telling me because it's football that I can make really stupid decisions because football.
You may want to say you understand that mindset. I'll go out on the limb and say I don't understand the mindset at all.
But it's football.
I know
you
it's
can
football.
Make stupid. Two plus two is seven. Football.
But even despite it being football, you're down 27 with 3 minutes to go. You have I would ask that caller and anyone on that side of the conversation. What is there to gain in that moment?
There's nothing.
They're learning
a lesson because they got their butt whooped. How many
callers are going to stand up and have that same principle, too, of saying, and if CJ got hurt or one of our best players, so be it.
Oh, he was full of it
at that
point.
That's complete BS.
He knew if he said that, if he agreed with you guys on that, then he loses the argument intellectually. So he stood on business.
I love the football defense. Well, I'm a macho football man. They should be playing down by 27. Okay, common sense, my guy. CJ Stroud was out of the game. So like any sort of momentum that you're building, you're doing it with Davis Mills. Is Davis Mills going to start this week? Secondly, the Vikings, also a football team. They took out all their good defensive starters. They were playing their twos. And then let's look at other sports. Yes, it's not football, but let's look at other sports. When you're down by 20, is LeBron James in the game? Nope. Is Kevin Durant in the game? Are your starters in the – no, what do you do when you're down by 20, up by 20? You clear the bench. Is Jordan Alvarez taking at bats up by 8, down by 8? Is Jose Altuve in the game up by 8, down by 8? Is Aaron Judge, is Shohei Ohtani? No, why? Because it's foolish to lose some of your best players in garbage time. But football!
I mean, in basketball, in the NBA, everybody makes a run. So if it's in the first half, those guys will be in the game. But yeah, if the game's out of reach.
No, late.
There's no way. Yeah. It's intelligence for a professional sport. That's what it is. It's intelligence
it's
and professional
management.
Sports. Yeah. Well, it's part
football!
Of that, too. But in college, there's more of, and maybe now it's different because of all the money involved in the NILs and the transfer portal. But in college, I can see a coach being ticked off and trying to teach the guys a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way in professional sports you're going to do that knowing that you've got the majority of your schedule ahead and there's no chance in hell you're winning this game.
And I think it's fine. I think it's fine if you have a developmental team. Like if you said this yesterday, if you're the Titans and you want Will Levis to get reps because he needs it, cool, I don't care. That's fine. If it was David Culley, Davis Mills, Lovie Smith, Davis Mills, they need reps. They're not a winning team. Who cares if they're in the game? But when you're a team that's supposed to win the AFC South, that is supposed to make a deep playoff run, what is the advantage of playing your starters down by 27 with less than 4 minutes left to play? You are potentially damaging your future to which you're trying to hang your hat on. It could have been Nico. It could have been Laremy Tunsil. It could have been Tank. Like this guy right here, Tank is soft. He's been underperforming this season, and now he's hurt again. Okay, that could be true. It's a different conversation. I don't know if he's soft. He's just kind of small and fragile. I think there's a difference between the two. But would you rather have Tank or would you not want to have Tank on the field? That is the question. Yeah. You can't all of a sudden move the goalpost or gaslight. Well, Tank doesn't mean that much to this football team. Would you rather have Tank or would you rather not? Because whenever I watch the film, these defenses are having to adjust to Tank Dell. They're trying to have to compensate for Tank Dell. Do I think the Texans are going to be fine without Tank Dell for a week? Hopefully it's only a week. Yeah, I do. They're playing the Jags. But it doesn't defeat the principle. What if it's Nico? What if Nico tore his Achilles and he's lost for the year because you played him in a 27-point game? Like Brian's been saying all week, Bill O'Brien did this to Arian Foster. It is foolish. But football! So dumb.
It's just, I love D'Amico and respect D'Amico so much. So it's just disheartening to hear him basically regurgitate the same crap we heard from Bill O'Brien 10 years ago.
I think that's why, too. Yeah, I mean, we've been traumatized by this before. Yeah, we've had enough of that. We thought we were beyond that. Because you're right. I mean, if the Mixon injury happens in garbage time, down 27, that's a totally different conversation because of how important he was and looks like he is to the running game.
triggers me. All right, 713-780-3776. I'll try to move on. With all the negativity and panic after the loss to the Vikings, what would you accept for the Texans this week? Is it winning just enough? Do they have to win by a certain point total? Score a certain amount of points? Penalties, offensive line. What do you think? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. Hey, bettors. Brad, I'm here to tell you about my favorite sportsbook and casino. That's BetUS.com. Football is back, so it's time to get in on the action. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then check out BetUS. BetUS went large for you this season with a huge offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, a 125% bonus on your first three deposits. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, and prop betting. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today at BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS, where the game begins.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Branham, please stop with the football. You're coming dangerously close to sounding like the untalented Paul Gallant. He's a clown. It's not nice. Perfect for a Friday, though. You guys are great. Time for a taco and beer. Have a great weekend. Stop trying to kiss our butts. It's weird behavior. Didn't the Texans get strummed by the Browns like this last year, too? It was a bad game. Let's see where you are 5 to 6 games from now. Hopefully it wasn't a reminder you ain't the bad word. A wake-up for the season, and they got the Browns back in the playoffs. Yeah, I don't think that week three is not really a testament to what the team is going to be for the totality of the year. So it asked the question, with all the negativity and panic after the loss to the Vikings, what would you accept from the Texans this week? Is winning just enough? Do they have to win by a certain point total, score a certain amount of points, penalties, offensive line? What do you say, Blankers?
To me, this is a lot of people that are hyper-focused on one game. And to the texter's point, look, the Browns game was later in the season. I'm glad this happened in week three. We talked about it because you learn from it, you move on. But a lot of people are already seemingly pushing the panic button. I personally just want to win. I just want to continue to see this team win because at the end of the year, there's not a whole lot of style points for a lot of these games. And people aren't going to remember, you know, every little detail of how big you won by. They're going to remember whether you won the game or not. And that's what's going to matter when you're starting to fight for playoffs. This Jacksonville team, they're wounded. No matter what they come out, you're better than them. So just come out and play your game and win the football game. I hear people say they got to win by 9. They got to win by 10. They got to do this. They got to do that. Now, you do have to clean up the penalties, and you do have to clean up the offensive line. But at the end of the day, get the win. Get the win. Get back on the winning track and do some of those things, and then let's press forward. I just hear so much and see so much on social media about people that are freaking about the way, the style points of how you have to win this game on Sunday. No, just win the damn game.
I haven't really seen that, if I'm being honest. In terms of, like, what I accept, like, yeah, obviously the winning aspect of it is the most important thing. Like, winning in the NFL is not a beauty contest. Is it better if you strum your opponent by 20 and you're clicking on all cylinders? Yes. That's not the reality of the NFL. So, yeah, I don't need them to win by X amount of points. I just need them to win the game. The other stuff, though, is like, yeah, I would like to see a game where they're under double-digit penalties. Yeah, I would like them to see lined up correctly, like basic stuff. Landry Locker had a video of Laremy Tunsil talking to the media today, and he's like, oh, yeah, we've been working on the line of scrimmage stuff and the illegal formation since week one. Week one? What do you mean week one? What were you doing in camp? Like, all of these officials and referees were coming around to these teams and saying, here are the point of emphasis this year. You have guys like Kevin O'Connell who was talking to the referees before the game, like, hey, watch them because we see on film they might not be lining up correctly. Laremy's saying they've been working on it since week one? That should have been off-season stuff. So clean up the crap and win the football game. That's really all I need to see.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, it's very similar in the fact that, you know, just play clean football and win. I've also heard people, and I've seen some of these, CJ needs to have a 300-yard game, and he need, you know, this many touchdowns and do all these things.
Who do you follow? You follow some psychopaths.
Some people were talking about this morning on one of the shows when I was driving around, and I'm going, no. I mean, if that happens as part of it, great, but just play clean football. you are a talented team, and just right the ship. Get the fundamental stuff back, and you're going to be fine. I don't care how many individual stats a guy has or how big they win by. Just win the damn game.
I don't care at all about the point total, but I would – I don't want to call it style points, but I do care that if it's a win where we feel like they're always in control, because that's, to me, for the Texans to be the type of team that we expected them to be, a team that was capable of winning maybe 11 games in the regular season, winning the division, possibly getting to their first AFC title game. That team at home against an 0-3 Jaguars team that just got obliterated by the Bills on Monday night needs to be able to control the game against the Jaguars. So I don't care if they win by 9. I don't care if they win by 6, because you could be up big and late scores and garbage time brings the total down. But we just – I think we have to come in on Monday and think, okay, the Texans were always in control. We never thought, holy crap, this game's getting away from us. The Jaguars are coming back, or the Jaguars had a chance. They need to control the game.
Kind of like the Bears game. The Bears game, they had opportunities to really get up
big. I don't know. It was 6 points for so long.
I never
and
felt
they scored
like
3 in the second half.
I just, yeah, I know, but I never felt.
I like a little more convincing.
But
than
I
that.
Never felt like they weren't in control of that game with the big play, the fumbled. They had the drive, sustained a drive going all the way down inside the red zone when they fumbled. And I felt like they controlled that entire. I just always felt like they were in somewhat control of that game. I didn't think it was ever. I never felt in jeopardy. But maybe you're right. Maybe it needs to be more than a one score game.
But I think it's because of the defense, though. Like, I also had that feeling, but it was more because I don't think the defense is going to allow them to get into the end zone. Not because you played a clean half.
No.
Offensively,
don't yet.
So it just didn't make you feel like it was a complete team win or good feeling. I think the best way to sum it up is win the game. Come in on Monday feeling good about the perspective of the Houston Texans going forward. Like, feeling good that going forward, they've kind of righted the ship. They're back to being this easy AFC South divisional champion. They're a team again that maybe could give Baltimore or Kansas City a game if you get deep in the playoffs. And I'll throw Buffalo in there. They've looked really good, too.
Yeah, if they play a clean game and they do those things, that's all that it should matter. The fact that, because you got another tough opponent coming up next week, and you can start to put that game in Minnesota behind you, saying, okay, that was then, this is now. We figured it out. We worked on some things. We're going to be better going forward, because that's what you want to do, is improve every week this early in the season.
5-5-3-5, Texans as a whole do need an offensive breakout game. These field goal games are too dang close for the talent on this team. They haven't broken out offensively. They've had good offensive games, but just haven't finished drives. I thought the offense played well against Indy. I thought they played well in the first half against Chicago. They did not play well last week. It's been problematic having a complete game that ends with drives in the end zone. And I think the offensive line has a lot to do with that. I think the offensive line is holding the offense back. The offensive line is the governor to the Houston Texans offense. Ocho, I hear people saying the Texans should feel inspired by the embarrassing loss to the Vikings, but just because they recognize their embarrassing loss doesn't mean they're good enough to fix the problems. Their offensive line needs upgrades. I agree with the gist of that text from Ocho. I don't think their issues are talent, though. I think that they have serious issues with at least communication. They're getting torn apart by the same stunts every single week. So at minimum, it's poor communication, and then potentially it's poor coaching. Potentially is poor coaching. I couldn't tell you that for sure, because I'm not out there to see how they're coaching them up. Maybe they're coaching them up perfectly and they just can't execute because the communication's so poor and they can't work as a cohesive unit. So at minimum, it's poor communication, with the potential that poor coaching could also be a factor here.
Yeah, I think that both are in play, and I think that it's not about each individual player, because look at the draft capital and the assets you've spent to put these guys in place, and the majority of them come with a resume and playing ability that says they should be just fine ability-wise, but the continuity has to change. Maybe it has something to do with, you know, with juice and a younger center too on some of the coverages. But whatever it is, coaching and or continuity, figure it out. Because we're only going into week 4, and it needs to get better.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN, where are you at with that? And then also, hearing a lot about how great the Houston Texans are at pressures. Here we go again with this conversation. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Now in its 58th year, almost as old as Blank, The original Greek festival runs on October 3rd through 5th, a cornerstone of the fall festival season in Houston and the largest of its kind in the nation. The festival features homemade Greek food, traditional Greek dancing, all sorts of authentic shopping, and an opportunity to learn more about the Greek Orthodox faith and culture. Admission to the festival is $8 for adults. Children under 12 get in free. There is no charge for admission between 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Friday. For more information, you can call 713-526-5377. 713-526-5377. And we're giving away a pair of tickets right now. To caller number 3 at 713-780-3776. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. You are going to Greek Fest coming up. All right, Ocho, even beyond the penalties, this offensive line is all finesse and needs dogs to get to the next level. I think Laramie's got some dog to him. Like, I know that he's, you know, he likes to get high and, you know, he speaks a little softly. Laramie Tunsil post-snap is still one of the best tackles in football.
I still believe Shaq's got some dog in him. I think he's good.
Yeah, I don't know if I completely agree with Ocho. I think Juice has some dog. Juice might not be good yet because he's only in his second year and he's struggling with communication. I think he actually plays with a huge chip on his shoulder. I think he plays nasty. Quite frankly, I like that for my offensive lineman. I like nastiness for my offensive lineman. And it sounds like Ocho wants more nastiness, which I think is fair. But I think you are selling them a little bit short when it comes to their nastiness. Okay. I like a good old pressure. Pressures are obviously very important. I understand that they factor into the game. You pressure the quarterback. The quarterback has less of a chance to complete the pass. It disrupts the play. I get all of that. But I'm already tired of the Texans are leading the league in pressures, like just like last year. Will Anderson great at getting pressures, and that's fantastic. That's great. Go finish a play, though. Like, these guys get paid because they sacked the quarterback. John Grenard said that last year. Yeah, we know that we get paid based on the sacks that we have. You listen to Matt Burke, the defensive coordinator of the Texans yesterday. He was asked about, you're getting tons of pressures. How great is this? And he's like, yeah, that's great. But we would really like the sack. Pro Bowl defensive ends, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, Pro Bowler, have combined for the most quarterback pressures in the NFL with 39. Okay, that's great. I'd rather have pressures than not have pressures, but I really want them to get to the quarterback. Hunter leads the NFL with 20 pressures. Anderson's ranked second with 19. Great stat. But it's a double. It's not a home run. Get to the quarterback and finish some plays. That's what I want to see. I don't want to celebrate pressures anymore.
No, you want the John Grenard effect of last week. You don't want pressures. You want a guy that's got three sacks in his back pocket that disrupts the game and makes a difference in the outcome of the football game based on what you get. Tackles for loss. You know, making something happen by either creating a turnover or forcing a bad throw and getting to the quarterback. And we've all seen it. We've watched enough of the film and watched the games from week to week to know, look, the edge rushers have been good. Even the interior defensive line have created pressure. But at the end of the day, it's all about the result that gets you to the win. And they didn't get it against Minnesota. They haven't been getting home as frequently as you'd like. And if you look at pressures versus sacks, that's where you'll see the biggest difference.
I'm not putting down pressures. I'd rather have a pressure than not have a pressure. But I'd rather have a sack than a pressure. Like, getting a pressure is all fine and dandy, but it doesn't end the play. We saw Sam Darnold get pressured, and Sam Darnold, of all people, escaping the pocket and throwing a touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. So it's fantastic that you're getting these pressures, but it doesn't end the story. It doesn't close the book. It doesn't end the play. I think it's the equivalent to a double. Quite frankly, I think a pressure is a double and a sack is a home run. Like, it's great to get the double. It puts you in position to have a chance. It puts you in position to have something positive happen, but it doesn't guarantee the positive result. You know what does? A homer. Same thing with pressures and sacks. Pressures are good. Go to Dallas. Pressure is good. That's fine. Give me the sack, man. Give me the sack. Start finishing some plays.
It's next level in terms of how they can chart all of this and what it leads to. But you're right, because of the fact that at the end of the day, if the pressure, we talked at the start of the year, hey, look, one of the big assets you're going to have with this defensive line, especially on the outside, is that the secondary is going to have to work probably less in coverage because the quarterback's not going to have enough time to get the ball off. So if the pressure leads to an interception, then you could say, okay, that's the kind of pressure that I like because it led to a turnover, gave us the football back, changed the momentum of the game for a certain portion of time. But at the same time, other than that, pressures are just that, because if quarterbacks are good, if they can get out of the pocket, if they're good at extending a play and going off script, pressures mean nothing.
713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Texture, what is a pressure? How is it charted? It's a good question. I don't know. My best guess, I don't know the scientific definition of a pressure in the NFL, and I think different sites record them differently. Like, if you go look at ESPN's numbers, Pro Football Reference numbers, they're always a bit different. Pressure, I think, is whenever you make the quarterback adjust.
I was going to say, or, like, at the point of release.
This one, and again, this is from the CFL. I just Googled how our pressure started in the NFL, and it brought up a CFL thing for some reason. Quarterback pressure is awarded to a defender who either forces the quarterback to move off his initial drop back point to avoid contact, contacts the quarterback in the act of throwing, or has the quarterback in his grasp at the time of the intentional grounding penalty. So it sounds like there's different ways to get it.
Yeah.
But if you're, like, in the NFL, you have so many more mobile quarterbacks, you put pressure on a quarterback, he rolls out of the pocket, you still have a very good chance for an explosive play. So you got a pressure on a play, he throws the ball 20 yards downfield. What good was the pressure there?
Right.
So, yeah. Like, not all pressures have a positive result.
You get a competition trophy because you got a pressure, but at the end of the day, he got 25 yards in a chunk play, and the offense has still got the ball.
Yeah. So it's like Brock Osweiler said about interceptions. An interception is
every
a different
story.
Yeah, interception tells a different story. Same thing with a pressure. If Will Anderson's creating a pressure on Lamar Jackson and he rolls out of the pocket, he might run for 50 yards. Or if it happens and you sack him, okay, great. That was a great pressure. The other one was not a great pressure.
Yeah, because, I mean, the last two of the three things you mentioned are great, like in the grasp, you know, running it or hitting them are great. But that first one just basically forced him to step up and move off a spot. I mean, to a good quarterback like Mahomes means nothing. Now, if it's a quarterback like Will Levis, who's never been able to identify pressure in his life and gets hit because he doesn't see it coming, then pressure's great because it'll turn into a sack. But a great quarterback, that means nothing. He steps up, he moves around, he fires the ball downfield.
That's the stat, is like the pressures that lead to something, lead to a tackle for loss, an interception, a turnover, like a fumble or something, and or a sack. Those are the ones that mean the most, because you're right. I mean, look, you look at Mahomes, you look at Josh Allen, you look at Lamar, you look at guys that can either do with their legs, or in the case of Mahomes, just he's almost better when he gets outside the pocket. The pressures mean nothing.
Quarterback pressure on Pro Football Reference, hurries, knockdowns, and sack plays. So a hurry, I guess you just get to the quarterback in a certain amount of time.
So you get a pressure and a sack if you complete it?
Looks like it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd rather have the pressure than not have the pressure. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I don't want to celebrate almost. I don't want to celebrate pressures. I want to celebrate sacks. You know when these defensive linemen do their dances? After sacks, not pressures. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys. Obviously, you know, Jeremy is pretty upset that Tank Dell is out this weekend. With that being said, is this the game where the Texans finally get Dalton Schultz maybe 8 to 9 targets and he puts up some of those 2023 stat lines? Or is this like a Robert Woods, Mechie kind of game?
Appreciate it, Keith.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Keith. Look, either one of those would be great. I mean, I think that for your long term, you'd like to see Schultz start to get going. In the short term, if you find something in a Woods or a Mechie that you know and you can put in your back pocket that when you need them, you can throw them out there and get them more in the mix than they've been, that'd be fantastic too. But at this point in the season, we just need to see continuity on offense. We just need to see, I don't care who gets the yards. And like last week when Diggs had a big game, but they didn't do anything to look like an impressive offense. I need to see this team start living up to billing in terms of an impressive offense. Finishing drives is a huge key to that. Without field goals, getting touchdowns, doing the kind of things to where people can actually start quantifying and qualifying the fact that they were supposed to have this kind of offense.
I'm not sure you answered his question.
I said, if either one of those things happened, to be great. Long term, I think it'd be great for Schultz. Short term, if one of those guys shows you can use them, more great too. But I just want to see the offense be more, have more continuity. If I had to pick one of the two, I'll take Schultz.
I think you could Casario'd Keith. I'm not really not that upset about Tank. Really, I'm really not. I think the Texans will be fine. What bothers me is that we're allowing stupidity. That's why I've been so loud about it. It's everybody else has been so quiet about it, and I think it's silly. I'm a roadblock for justice. In terms of...
Settle down, Batman.
In terms of Schultz, I don't see Schultz having a 7-8 target game. I feel like the Texans, actually, because of their offensive line, would rather operate out of 12 personnel than 11 personnel. So I don't think this is going to be a whole big, like, Robert Woods, John Mechie breakout. I think we're going to see a lot of 12 personnel. And then also, Jacksonville plays a lot of man coverage, which I think bodes well to Nico Collins.
Nico
quite
Collins
frankly.
Is going
to
eat. Yeah.
So I don't see this as a Schultz game. I think he'll play a lot of snaps. I don't think he gets targeted you know, 7, 8, 9 times.
I don't either, because I don't know if you guys remember those first couple games of the season last year. Same thing as this year. Stroud was getting hit a ton. It was like 7 sacks in the first 2 games. And then what we saw from the Texans, the adjustment, at least initially from Bobby Sloak, was a lot of max protect, and a lot of three man route combinations, leaving 7 in the block. And if they have to do that again, that means Schultz is going to be in blocking. Now, he's not a great pass blocker, but at least he's somebody out there to take up a body. So that would mean I don't think he would be able to get out there for 7, 8 targets.
Yeah, whenever we see Irv Smith, I'm going to be watching Irv. Like, who cares, right? Doesn't really move the needle talking about Irv Smith. But I wonder if Irv Smith's going to be active on Sunday. Just something I'm looking at. Is it more important to extend – important? I don't know what word that is. Is it more important to extend Alex Bregman or Kyle Tucker? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5,
KFNC, and 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Presented by Zadok Jewelers.